Well, this is the time of year we start to see young deer, fawns, out and about in the wilderness, perhaps also in your backyard. Wildlife experts ask people who are tempted to not rescue solo fawns. This is because they're frequently on their own throughout the day, and it's natural. The mother's going to come back. Also because earlier this year, the Iowa DNR notified wildlife rehabilitators that the state will no longer give permits to groups that rehabilitate white-tailed deer. Most often, these are fawns. We'll get some background on this from Adam Janke, assistant professor and extension wildlife specialist at Iowa State University. Adam, welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Let's go through the problem of well-intentioned people wanting to rescue wildlife babies, not just deer, right?
That's right. Yeah, this is the time of the year that we run into that the most, and it is, of course, well-intentioned, as you said, but most of the time when we find wild babies on the ground or what seem to be alone, mom is often pretty close by watching, but just is kind of afraid to show herself, and it's always best, almost without exception, to walk away from wild babies and let mom come back and take care of them the way nature intends.
Mm-hmm. Are there any exceptions there? I mean, we can see a young animal look like it's in distress, right? We should never, ever do anything?
Well, there certainly are exceptions, and it's best to consult with a professional wildlife rehabilitator, wildlife conservation officer, wildlife biologist to kind of identify those. But things that are really obvious would be, for example, if the mother of a fawn gets hit on the road. Like, those are kind of the extreme examples where we know the mother isn't there and can't help. But other things, even things as simple as, you know, baby birds falling out of nests, people think that that may be the end of it. And that's really just not true. We see that wildlife are pretty resilient, of course, can deal with those adversities. And the best way for a baby animal to be raised is in the natural environment where the parents are.
Comment, Adam, on an update on chronic wasting disease among our deer and what's being done now.
Yeah, chronic wasting disease is one of the issues, of course, we're worried about with white-tailed deer. And it's a pretty unique challenge, and it's a relatively new challenge in Iowa. It's a type of disease called a transmissible spongiform encephalopathy. Folks from the ag community will recognize that's the same thing as mad cow and scrapie that we see in sheep and goats. And this is a pretty unique type of disease, and different than viruses and bacteria and things that are a little more intuitive. And so the challenge that this disease presents is that it's 100% fatal when it's found in wild deer, in elk and other members of the deer family. And once it's in the environment, it's really hard to get rid of. And so right now in Iowa, chronic wasting disease is only in two known places in wild deer. That's northeastern Iowa and Allamakee and Clayton County. And then just this last fall, as part of routine monitoring, the Iowa DNR detected it in Wayne County. And so we're really worried about monitoring the disease and minimizing potential impacts of the disease in those areas. And then we want everybody across the state to be aware of the disease and how it is that we are going to address this challenge moving forward here in Iowa.
What will a deer look like if it's got this white, this chronic wasting disease?
That's a great question. And what it'll look like is a normal deer for the most part. And that's another challenge that chronic wasting disease presents, is that the disease has a long incubation period before the animals become symptomatic. So it can actually be up to 18 months, as many as 3 years even, but the typical exposure or incubation period is 18 months. And many times the symptoms start to become more severe as the animal has had the disease longer. And oftentimes we see CWD-infected deer actually die of things that are maybe a secondary result of the infection, rather than wasting away, as the name may imply. Ultimately, at the very end of the disease, I said it's 100% fatal, the animal would show symptoms of being really sick, but it would be like excess salvation, poor balance, and starvation, you know, exposed rib cages. But that's consistent with a lot of symptoms of a sick deer. So what we say with CWD is we often don't have a body count. We don't see a lot of deer dying of wasting away, but the disease is definitely affecting their neurological function, and it's affecting the populations in potentially really meaningful ways as it becomes more prevalent.
Mm-hmm. What's behind this move by the Iowa Department of Natural Resources telling groups, volunteers, they'll no longer give permits to groups that rehabilitate whitetail deer.
Yeah, I think what the DNR is doing, basically the only tools we have to fight this disease is to minimize the spread. Because like I said, once it's in the wild, it's not going anywhere. The prions that cause this disease persist in the wild for up to 10 years. Animals can pick it up from the environment without ever interacting with an infected individual. And so what the only chance we have essentially for minimizing the impacts of this disease in Iowa is to minimize the spread. And the ways we can do that is basically not moving deer and then also not allowing deer to come into artificially high concentrations with other deer. And the concern with this, I think, with the rehabilitators is that both of those things would be playing out. We'd be bringing deer in from the wild that could potentially have the disease, but of course be asymptomatic as a young deer. They could have the disease. That could transmit it to other deer that are held at the facility or contaminate the facility itself through environmental contamination. And then once those animals are released back into the wild, that could perhaps be a long distance away from the animal where the animal was originally picked up. And you could imagine a scenario. I mean, the probabilities are low, but there's a possible scenario where you could be moving that disease and introducing it into a new area where it wouldn't have been otherwise. So,
we have about 30 seconds left. Adam, a quick word to the future here. Will this CWD, chronic wasting disease, continue to spread? Do we know?
Yeah, we know from the experience of other Midwestern states that CWD is here to stay, and yes, CWD is going to spread. What we're working on is trying to find ways to minimize the rate of that spread, and that means we need to move deer as little as we can, find ways to reduce densities of deer, and definitely discourage people from congregating deer around artificial feed or mineral supplementation sites, and just basically become aware of the disease and know what you can do to help, and all hands on deck kind of a approach to this challenge that will be with us for a while.
Adam Janke, Assistant Professor and Extension Wildlife Specialist at Iowa State University. Thanks so much for the tips, Adam.
Yes, thank you. Have a good day.
You too.